Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father God, we love you. God, we come together tonight, Father. God, I ask you, Father, to remove every distraction, God, from your people. Father, I ask you to give us ears to hear, to open our hearts wide open, God, to receive your word, Father. I ask that you don't let anything come out of my mouth, that the Holy Ghost, I surrender right now to the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, to take captive my mind in the words, God, that they will edify the church, hallelujah. God, I just bless you and I thank you. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name. So I was every day driving to work. I just marvel at God. And I live in Fort Worth, Texas, and it's very crowded. And there's a lot of traffic. And so very similar to other Metroplex cities. And so DFW is not forgiving at all. It is packed. And so to make it from A to B is a miracle in of itself. And so I just find myself that I love just worshiping him, you know, on my way to work. And so I was thinking about, you know, just the goodness. It's always just common, just the goodness of Jesus and everything that everything he's been to me in my life, and how grateful I am, as the prophet spoke of our mother and her, how she labored before the Lord, and how blessed in that way, that to be able to see a woman of God transform as she got older, and not only chronologically, but also older and wiser in the Lord, and is just how the impact on my life. And so we take our role very seriously. We take this responsibility very seriously. To whom much is given, much is required. And I tell my teachers that all the time, that, you know, even in the workplace, that, you know, it is an honor to serve. And just as the prophet was speaking about serving, that is our number one role. And so I just thank God today. And so this particular day, I was just thinking about in regards to work and how I have worked under some crushing superiors. I mean, taskmasters. Just unrelenting, right? And how, as I look back over the last 24 years that I've been in public education, how, if it wasn't for the Lord, I just don't understand how people make it when God is not the head of their lives. It's nothing but by His grace and mercy. I mean, and I thought about, you know, God, so many times we come, ask each other for prayer, lift each other up in prayer because of toxic situations and living under harsh conditions. And those mental conditions can just overwhelm you and can just distract us from God's promises and can distract us from His word and that He is going to perform exactly what He said He was going to perform. I know, I've been there, and I still thank God for raising up my prayer partners who keep me lifted constantly, so that that I am forever thinking on Jesus and thinking on that he's the author and the finisher of my faith, and hallelujah, that He is in control. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. And so I was just basically thanking Him for, you know, I had a couple of people in mind, and of course I would never, you know, speak ill of them on a personal level, but it was rough. It was a difficult season in my life. And so, but God is faithful, and that He delivered me, and He continues to deliver me. And so as I was reading the first chapter of Ezra, I just kept reading chapter one. It's only 11 verses. So we'll start there tonight. I think what we'll do is, as the Holy Spirit leads, that we will read through the text. It's just 11 verses. And then we'll kind of circle back around as God leads us tonight. And so Ezra in the Old Testament, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11, and we may make our way through all 11. We'll just see how the Holy Ghost wants to lead tonight. So Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his God. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridat, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this is a number of them: 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. Thank you, God. We ask, God, that you add a blessing to the reading of this word, Father, and that it will not return unto you void. Hallelujah. So, in thinking about this particular text, several titles come up. You know, it's obviously one theme is help, right? Another that I thought of is stirred up. I love it. Stirred up, as in Jesus gets us stirred up. Hallelujah. And so if I were going to title it, that's what I would title it, stirred up. And so here, just to give a little context about where we are historically. Well, first, you know, we'll look at a little bit of history about what's going on. And so the people of Judah were conquered by the Babylonians some 70 years prior to this time. And they were being they were living in exile. Obviously, they were no longer in Jerusalem, as we read, and they were living under very harsh conditions. And King Nebuchadnezzar had captured them and had, you'll notice in the text, that he had taken these precious items from the Lord's house and put them into the house of little gods, a little g. That's very significant, right? Because we know that he was not a believer or of the Lord. And so when I was reading this particular text, I had come across Psalm 137 and how we know that they were harsh conditions for the people of Judah, for God's people, because Psalm 137 verse 1 reads, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Hallelujah. And that God's people, they wept for him. You know, oftentimes we weep when we're under harsh conditions. We go to bed at night and we cry our eyes out because we cannot believe the conditions under which we're living. And I can imagine that God's people were tired and weary. I know they were, because in his word, he says they wept. Hallelujah. And so what you need to know a little bit about Cyrus, how he comes in, and all this is going to make sense in a little bit. Cyrus the Great was a king of Persia, and this is probably what has made me hover over this particular text for a couple of weeks, just meditating on it, is that Cyrus comes along and he captures the Babylonians who had captured God's people. Now, Cyrus was known to be in any history book, right? Any article that you read about him, that he was a very tolerant king, that he showed mercy to those who surrendered to him. He was very brilliant. He was merciful. He was all of these characteristics, or displayed, or had all these characteristics that we normally would assign to God, but he didn't know God. However, we just read that he acknowledged God, but he was not a believer. But God used Cyrus as a key character in this setup, and I just it's God's setup. Hallelujah. And so, have you ever had anyone, if you've been saved any amount of time, even if you got saved yesterday, right? If you've been saved, then I will, not without speaking for others, could probably 99% guarantee that there has been some type of conflict or struggle or situation or circumstance that was just, could be crippling, right? But God would send you some help. And a lot of times that help came in a way you never even imagined, right? So, there have been people who have not even stepped foot in a church, but have reached out and helped me. And this word tells me why tonight, hallelujah, confirms why. So if there was a subtitle, stirred up, God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. So just keep that in mind, that here we have a king who is a mighty king, who is a brilliant military strategist, who has a heart that is not like other kings that have conquered people. He has compassion against those who have been oppressed. He would be disturbed, in some texts would say he would be disturbed by harsh taskmasters and how they treated the people that they were enslaving. And that just goes against the idea of someone who does not know the Lord. Hallelujah. But we know that always and forever our Lord reigns. So God was reigning because he doesn't have a beginning or an ending. So we don't have a concept of truly how massive and powerful he is. We get glimpses as he moves in our lives. Hallelujah. And so we know that God is, there are certain things that are going to happen when he's setting up, right, that are in accordance to his plan. And so this particular text references Jeremiah 29:10, so which reads, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon," and we're talking about the text that we just read, "I will visit you," he says to the people, "I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and causing you to return to this place." So this scripture here, in the midst of them being ripped away from their home in Jerusalem, a word goes forth where God told them, this is what it looks like right now, but I am in control, and I am going to return you to this place. The role of his people was to maintain their faith in their faith in God, that even in the midst of the struggle, even in the midst of a harsh reality, that some of them thought, I will never see my home again. I will never know my God again. Hallelujah. But God's word went forth. And so that's the one thing that we've got to make sure that we hold tight to, that God, when God's word goes forth, And we know his word because he's given us thousands of pages of his word, right? When God's word goes forth, our role is to maintain our focus on him, our faith on him, hallelujah, that his will and his prophecy will come to fruition. God will always prevail. And it doesn't matter what man says. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Hallelujah. Because ultimately, as we read through verse 11, we know he did it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is a man of his word. He can be trusted like no one you will ever encounter. Hallelujah. He trusted to send his son. Hallelujah. That we in turn would worship him. He trusts. He is so magnificent, so powerful. There are just not enough words to describe our God. And that even though I was thinking about, you know, how hard and difficult that had to have been to hear a prophecy when there was nothing, there was nothing that they should believe, I mean, in the natural, right? And then some people can't deal with time, you know, and with God's plan and the significance of him appointing certain times when we are going through. And that's not a blanket description for everyone because all of our walks are different. However, when God gives us a word, the bottom line is we've got to trust it, and we cannot be, we cannot lose our faith or turn away from him because it's not aligned with our timing, or it's not coming in the way that we think it should come, because God's plan is perfect. Hallelujah. His plan is perfect. And so we'll move on a little bit. And if there are a couple of points, in this particular text, and that we know that our God moves and stirs. He stirs us up. He stirs up whomever he wants to, right? So we'll look back at verse 1 with Cyrus being the subject here, and that as we read it, just it's for us to constantly remember that God is sovereign, God is in control. God is calling the shot. Whatever phrase you want to use, God is God. Hallelujah. And if you can think of any situation where God changed the heart of someone or changed the circumstances, if he did it once, he's going to do it again. Ultimately, we're going to walk through the gates. We're going to be with our Lord for all eternity. That should be something to shout on, that we don't ever have to worry about what's going on in this natural life. Hallelujah. But in his word, he's yet giving us time after time where he has performed his word just as he said. Hallelujah. So when we look at God changing Cyrus's heart, right, and that here was a man our God, Jehovah Jireh, the God, was not his God. But God had stirred his heart. And he stirred his heart on behalf of his people. And my God still does that. Hallelujah. Despite circumstances. And I think about from the period of about, you know, a little bit of this is not about me and I don't want to make it about me. But just as an encouragement of going through and understanding what it is to go through. And about this time, I want to say between 2015 and 17, even my son was 8 years old at the time, and he became insulin dependent. And then I had willfully left one position and went to another position. And it was very difficult. And so when I returned back to my original position, my place of employment, when I returned back to the school district that I worked in, I was demoted, right? Because I had made a decision, right, that my superiors were not pleased with. But they still had mercy in that they allowed me to still assume an administrative position. And then that's when God really just started to really work on my heart and really to put me in a place of humility that I thought I was in. But he said, he surrounded me with so many believers in this one school. It was just unbelievable how people would just come to my office just to pray for me, just not even knowing what was going on. But our God sent me my help. Hallelujah. He stirred up the hearts of the people, hallelujah, that they would come and that they would lift me up when they didn't even know what I was going through. And I just speak that to you today as an encouragement that our God hears us, he sees us, but he is going to allow us to be made. He is going to allow us to have a testimony to help the others, to help anyone else who may not know who he is, but they know, oh, that God you serve, I'm going to do right. Because that God is amazing God. That God is a all-powerful God. Hallelujah. That's who we are. We are here to represent him and to represent him and to praise him and to worship him despite the circumstances, despite him not showing up when we think he should show up. Hallelujah. And I just bless him tonight, hallelujah, because it's always a setup, hallelujah. He's always stirring something up. He's stirring somebody up on our behalf. And you got to believe that. You got to believe that God has a perfect plan in mind for you, hallelujah, that he knows your purpose. He established it. He knew you before you even created in the womb, hallelujah. And I just bless him tonight because he is so faithful. He is so faithful, and he will see us through, hallelujah. And so, you know, when we think about God stirring up and shaking it up, hallelujah, and I just, you know, here it is 2021, and I look back on 2015, and it just seems like eons ago, and I had no idea where he was, everything that I had experienced, where he was bringing me from, and that to this appointed time, hallelujah, that he has, oh, if you could just walk with me one day, you would see, hallelujah, I just bless him. And it's not about the things he gives us, but it's about the peace down on the inside, because it's the peace, hallelujah, of the Lord that just transcends all understanding, hallelujah. And it doesn't matter. He brings us to a place that the things don't matter, hallelujah, that we just, it's about him, hallelujah. As long as he doesn't turn away, as long as God doesn't turn away, I'm good, hallelujah. I'm going to make it, hallelujah. And I just bless him tonight. And we have to know that this journey is not about us. It does not revolve around us. It is not about what we acquire. It is about the plan, his plan, and what he has purposed and what he will accomplish. And when we just shift that, just our mindset a little bit, hallelujah, that we sometimes allow questions, you know, as we, and I, trust me, I almost 50 years old now. So, you know, 30 years ago, I was stuck similar to a five-year-old, right? A five-year-old who's in the store with his mom or his dad and is complaining. And even as a, you know, immature saint, and I don't mean that in a degrading way, not at all. But if we are new in our walk with the Lord, where we are really trusting him, right? When we, our faith is solid in the Lord, then sometimes we get stuck with, well, why me, God? Why am I going through this, God? I am your faithful servant, God. You know, when is it my turn? Why do they treat me like that? And those might be valid questions, but those questions will get us stuck, right? I can imagine that the people that originally heard the prophet Jeremiah share God's proclamation about what he was going to do 70 years later, I'm sure they were like, oh, this again? Did you already deliver us? Didn't we already get delivered from Egypt? Oh, I'm not going through this again. I've heard faith of God even say, oh, I'm not waiting that long. And I'm like, oh, my Lord, come on, God. Come on, God. Change the hearts of your people, God. Hallelujah, God. Change our hearts, God, so that we do not have the spirit of entitlement, in essence, or I've done this much, God. Now it's your turn to, no, no, that is not how it works. Hallelujah. We have to be steadfast and immovable. And instead of questions, that focus on us, we need to say, God, who are you stirring up, hallelujah, at this time, God? Who are you? What are you restoring in my life, God? What are you reforming in the lives of your people today, God? Hallelujah, because I want to be in the midst, Father. I want to be a walking testimony of your goodness, hallelujah, and that you perform exactly what your word says it's going to do, hallelujah. Thank you, God, and that we're not questioning him and his promises towards us, hallelujah. And the only way that we can get grounded, I have to do it daily, hallelujah. I have to, because we constantly have the fiery darts of the enemy coming at us. We constantly have Satan trying to set us up in a way that's gonna knock us off, hallelujah, the wagon, hallelujah. But we, our God is faithful, and the more we get into his word and we just keep reading it and we just keep saying, God, reveal it, hallelujah, God, show me, God, where this word applies in my life, Father. God, use me, God, hallelujah. Stir me up, God, to be a help to your people, hallelujah. He will send someone who doesn't, he will send people in your midst who don't even know him. And before you know it, they ask him for silver and gold, hallelujah, figuratively speaking, hallelujah. Just like in this word of God, that people will turn it over the things to God's people, hallelujah, with the whole purpose of building the temple. We are building the temple, hallelujah. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. And we have to remain steadfast, because there's too many people that need to come into the fold, hallelujah. And I was just saying, God, you're just so good, that God, you will make a way. You are the provider. You will have, hallelujah, your enemy will become your footstool, hallelujah. We are living witnesses. And we just sit down, I have a list I keep, and it's called the impossible list. And I just write off every time God brings something to me, hallelujah, that seems like it's the impossible. I write it down. And every time he answers it, I come behind it and say, look at you, God. You're my God of the impossible. Hallelujah. Because he is the restorer. Hallelujah. He restored his people another time and time and time again. Hallelujah. And we just bless him. We sing. We have to just speak to God and say, God, sing your songs of deliverance over me, hallelujah. Deliver me from everything, God, that is not of you, anything that is a barrier to the advancement of your kingdom, because his will is going to be done. And I thought it was so interesting regarding this particular exodus from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And we'll talk about that a little more depth here shortly. But originally, they believe about 3 million people left Egypt. Moses led about 3 million people out of Egypt, right? But this time around, they believe it was only 50,000, and there were a lot of people that were held in captivity in Babylon, right? And so you think about that why we want to make sure that we are not missing God. I don't want to be one of the ones who is so tired and weary. I'm like, God, give me some strength, God, to keep persevering and keep going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we know that nothing, as we frame and we think about who Jehovah Jireh is, who Jehovah is, hallelujah, and the Holy Ghost that he's given us to give us strength, right, and comfort, and our Jesus who died on the cross for us, that nothing is impossible. Nothing. No thing is impossible for our God. No thing. So when even saints of God who may not want, because it's all free to all of us, right? But even if I start limiting God, correct me. No, Luke says no thing is impossible. We have to do that one for another, hallelujah, correct each other in love, that if we're going to believe on what and stand on God's promise to keep us, hallelujah, he saved us. He changed our wretched hearts, hallelujah. He gave us a mind to be steadfast on him, so we don't think he can do everything else. Hallelujah. Yes, he can. Hallelujah. And even in Jeremiah, when he says that he will hasten his word to perform it quickly. Hallelujah. Our God is not a God who tarries. Hallelujah. So we have to get out of that mindset. We have to understand that even if it seems like it's taking a little bit longer, there's something in that process that he is doing out of love for us. And we just have to keep saying, God, I praise you and I thank you because you did it for your people. Hallelujah. In the first chapter of Ezra, you're going to do it for me. Hallelujah. And I just, I have to stand on that. And Isaiah 55:11 reads, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God is a God where nothing is impossible. Our God performs quickly. He's going to perform his word. It is action. Hallelujah. It will not return into void. Hallelujah. Those three scriptures, Luke 1:37, if you're a person taking notes, Jeremiah 1:12, and Isaiah 55:11. Periodically read those to remind myself, hallelujah, so that when I do come up against the enemy and he tries to buck at me, hallelujah, I can return to him that word, hallelujah, and speak to him and speak death to him, hallelujah, and all of his minions, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, because our God's word is what is real and what stands, hallelujah, in this hour, hallelujah. Thank you, God. We just bless you tonight, God. Thank you, God. So when we look at and we know that God moves and stirs hearts, and I know we have saints of God on this line tonight that can testify, hallelujah, that he moves and stirs hearts. He restores, God restores and reforms. He is the restorer and he is the reformer, hallelujah. We have to remember that everything is God's to give, not man. Because when we get distracted, like I work in an environment where there's this constant cycle of people taking credit for people, right? Oh, I mentored her or him, or I set him or her up in that job, or it's because of me. And it puts this it's really like an oppressive cycle of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But that's not how our God works. Because first of all, there's not a man that puts us in position. Hallelujah. God ordains every step. He orchestrates every step, every move. He is on the throne. He is on the only throne. Hallelujah. And we have to remember that. And we have to think back to even chapter 2 of our, verse 2, excuse me, of our text tonight, that the man who did not even believe in God said, oh, he is God. The Lord God, capital letters, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms. Even Cyrus knew who appointed him. So who are we, believers in the Lord? How do we not trust in him 100% that he is in control? Hallelujah. There's not going to be a non-believer that's going to take my testimony. Hallelujah. My God is too great. And he's been too good to me. And I know my brothers and sisters on this line can testify to the same. So if a non-believer knows of the power of our God, hallelujah, then what about us? Hallelujah. And we just have to make sure that, you know, that when we come to our Lord and we come in a position of humility and we surrender to him and we lay it all down, that he's afforded us as his children, that we don't have to assume all of this negativity. We don't have to assume the words that the enemy is speaking over us, that we can turn around because our God restores anything we've lost. Hallelujah. He is a restorer. I'm a living witness. Hallelujah. Our God is so good to us. He's so good. And he will command help. He will command it. He not only did Cyrus in his proclamation command of what he was returning after he conquered Babylon. He said, anyone else that comes in the midst of God's people, you better do for them too. Hallelujah. So our God is setting up. He is just in a constant state of setting up for our good, hallelujah, to perform and to accomplish what he has commanded over our lives, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We cannot get in a season. We cannot be stuck in a season of complaining. We cannot be stuck in a season of why me? My children know, my two children, they know. I'm like, don't ask me that. Don't say why me. Why not you? Who's going to get the glory? Our God is going to get the glory. So why not you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I can imagine those 50,000, the people, those who did not come back to Jerusalem, that they missed it, right? So we don't want to miss the spiritual restoration and reformation that God is affording us because we get tired and weary. He's too important. He's too important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yeah. So I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to get into the Word of God, to whatever text, like I listen to on the way to work, listen on the way home, listen going to Walmart, to Kroger, it doesn't matter. Use any available time that you have to read short chapters that are 11 verses that just reminded me. I said, look at you, God. You turn the heart. You mean what you say. Hallelujah, when we trust in you, when those who said, you know what, God, I'm going to go back. I'm going to build that temple. I'm going to labor before you, Father. I can imagine quite a few of them were like, no, not trying to do all that work. That's not what I'm interested in at this round. And how many saints of God will sometimes fall into a backslidden state or fall away from how far God has brought them, right? You got to stay encouraged. We got to encourage one another. We got to keep running the course. Hallelujah. We got to keep pressing toward the mark. Hallelujah. Because our God is worth it. He has invested so much in us. Hallelujah. We cannot be confused by our personal desires. The only way we can eliminate or eradicate those desires, those natural desires that might bubble up in us, is that we have to get the Word of God in to take root. Hallelujah. And you ask him, God, where do you want me to read, Father? Nothing is random in our Lord. Nothing is random. Everything is significant because you are significant. I am significant. He loves us so that he knows the count of the very hairs on our head. So you know that he is orchestrating, hallelujah. He says that he provided a lamp to our feet, hallelujah. He's given us exactly everything we need in this good book, hallelujah. And the time that he allows the saints, that he orchestrates the saints to come together. He knew we were going to be here at this appointed time because he is so great and so mindful of us, so mindful of us, hallelujah. And we just bless him. And I'm going to leave you tonight with one other scripture. That this is a scripture I fold up and keep in my purse because I don't know about you, but my line of work, it can be really tough. Hallelujah. In 2018, December, right before Christmas break, I broke up one of the nastiest fights I have ever encountered, and it broke off bone in my shoulder. And when you have tough days like that, regardless of what they are, whether there's somebody that dies in your family that you're close to, whether you've been betrayed by a spouse, or let's say you on your job you have been lied on, everything is significant and important to God that happens in our lives, hallelujah. But we have been charged to not allow those things to cause us to question who he is in our lives and who he has been. Hallelujah. And so I will close with reading Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And this is for the practical approach, right? How do you overcome these overwhelming feelings of that may distract or may be a barrier to our peace, right? Of from when with from the Lord, or anything that we just can't seem to overcome. We don't have to overcome because Jesus overcame. Hallelujah. He has overcome the world. Hallelujah. The Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 8 through 9 reads, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just thank you, God. God, I bless your name tonight, Father. I bless you, God. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you for my brothers and sisters tonight, God, who have been obedient, Father, that God, that labor before you, Father God. And God, I just ask, God, that you just bless us tonight, God. You're in the midst. You've already blessed us. Hallelujah. And God, we just love you, Father. Show us how to be, hallelujah, who you have destined us to be, hallelujah, God. God, and we just love you in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen.